We'd open our Bibles this evening to Hebrews chapter 7. Let's take a short message tonight. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that king of Salem, which is king of peace. By the way, is the recorder on? Okay. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we come here tonight to seek your wisdom, for you have told us that you were to come in this hour as a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of yourself, to make known to the church the hidden wisdom which you have hidden since before the foundations of the world, but was to be revealed in this hour. And we trust that your descent with a shout is that very message which you have proclaimed through the lips of your prophet, William Branham. That is that hidden wisdom that is to be revealed to us and to make known unto us the unsearchable riches of Christ. Grant to us a small portion of your wisdom tonight, Lord, as we examine this message of your prophet, William Branham, concerning just who this Melchizedek is. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now tonight, I'd like to pick up at paragraph 38 of Brother Branham's sermon, Who is this Melchizedek? And he said, and let's read. Now we find out that this person had no father, no mother, no beginning of days or ending of life. It was God and Morph. Now the world, or the word, comes, the Greek word means to change. It was used changing himself and morph from one person, the Greek word then, there, and morph means it was taken from the stage act, that one person is changing his mask to make him some other character. Like in a school just recently, I believe, Rebecca, just before her graduation, that they had of Shakespeare plays. And one young man had to change his clothes several times because he played two or three different parts, but the same person. He'd come out, one time he was the villain, and when he came out the next, he was another character. And now the Greek word and morph, it means that he changed his mask. And that's what God did. It's the same God all the time. God in the form of the Father, the Spirit, the pillar of fire, the same God was made flesh and dwelt among us, in morph, brought out so that he could be seen. And now that same God is the Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Not three gods, three offices, three acts of the one God. The Bible said there's one God, not three. But that's how that they couldn't, you can't get this straightened out and have three gods. You'd never sell that to a Jew. And I tell you that, one who knows better, he knows there's only one God. Now, I'd like you to stop for just a moment and just reflect upon this, because notice that Brother Branham used the term in morph. He said this is a Greek word meaning, the Greek word amorph, it actually means form. The form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. The external appearance. So notice, let's just read that again. The form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. So something striking the vision, then it says the external appearance. Now in Mark 16 verse 9 is the first time the word anamorph is used. And it says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. After that, he appeared in another form, that's enmorph, unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now notice here, we find in one version of the scripture, it says that their eyes were beholden, which means that they couldn't, their understanding was held back. And yet here it says that he appeared and morphed. It means he took on another form. One time they thought it was a gardener. Another time he appeared as something different. But the word amorph is used. Now, in Philippians 2 and 6 we read again, who being in the form of God, who being in the amorph of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form, the amorph of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I'd like to stop here just a moment and focus on this. Notice, who being in the amorph of God, in the form of God, what was that form? Spirit. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, if I could illustrate here.
Could you grab it around the corner and grab the tripod? Let's just see.
Notice in the very beginning, you have God in a form, spirit, we'll say. Actually, I'm not going to, well, it's. Many, many scriptures that says God has a face, God has eyes, etc., etc., his white wig. This is terrible. I almost feel blasphemous doing this, but because I'm such a poor artist. Now, we have then the Son came forth in the image of the Father. See how consistent my... my drawing is. Okay. But remember, this is a spirit being. Now, we have Big Jehovah and we have his son. Actually, he's Elohim at this time. Now, all right.
Notice in Philippians it says, who being in the form of God,
here it is spirit. Okay? So we could probably, to make it seem like it's spirit, maybe do it like this. And remember, God said, let us, who's that? The Father and the Son, let us make man in our image. What's that? And spirit man. But that spirit man had hands, eyes, okay, spirit.
There you go. Now,
Notice, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form, the enmorph, of a servant. So he went from the, in the form of God, the word form is enmorph. Okay? He went from the enmorph of God and then took on a flesh. He went from the invisible to the visible. Let's turn to
1 John chapter 1. And okay. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, now at this point, not seen but heard, that's a voice, which we have heard, now, which we have seen with our eyes, that's visible, which we have looked upon, that's visible, and our hands have handled, that's physical flesh, notice, of the word of life. The word of life. Now, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. Now, as Brother Branham taught it, Jesus was not his own Father. Number two, Brother Branham said, when God said, let us make man in our image, he said that was the Father speaking to the Son. So what we have is, in the very beginning, God has a form. God is not just some, Brother Branham said, like, I used to think Jesus, he said, you know, in the resurrection, we'd be like a cloud, and I'd see this white cloud go by and say, oh, Brother Neville, how are you? He said, but then I begin to realize that Paul says, there's bodies spiritual, bodies terrestrial. Bodies celestial, bodies terrestrial. And he says, we have one already waiting. See? So, then he began to say, he began to teach us that Jesus is not his own Father. He said the only difference between the Father and the Son is what? Sons have a beginning. So everything that the Father had, the Son had. All that was in the Father, he poured into his Son. Now, not poured as if it's a drink. That's kenos. Brother Branham said it's enmorph. So the very life that was in God, God formed into an image and morphed, became a mask. And that mask was more than a mask because it was an only begotten Son. You see? So the Son came forth in the image of the Father, invisible. Therefore you have a pre-incarnate Son, because Jesus said, I came into this world to do my Father's will. Notice we said, we read in Melchizedek, or excuse me, we read in Philippians, who being in the form of God, here, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was. Equal in everything, except he couldn't create. He wasn't the creator. God is the creator. And yet God created all things through the Son. Brother Brown said he prayed at the great throne of God's eternity. He said that little light that came forth. So we'll kind of give him an essence here. A light. Why? Because God is that great light. God is that great fountain. See, he's in the image of the Father. Like I say, when I kind of draw my picture, it's almost blasphemous. I wish I could draw like Hoffman. At least I'd have a little bit of a dignity. But I hope you just understand. The Father had hands. We go in the Old Testament, we can find, you know, hundreds of scriptures that says he had eyes. The eyes of the Lord walk to and fro. You know, he's got feet. You know, he's got hands. He's got a nose.
the nostrils of God, you know, blew. He's got a breath, the breath of God. You see, he's got a mouth. He speaks. God writes. You see, you know, if you had a cloven hoof, you couldn't write. God has fingers, the finger of God, the arm of the Lord. See, all these scriptures that speak of God having these things. Therefore, we know that when God made man in his image, first man was made in a spirit image. But man still had hands, toes, feet, and everything else. But there was no form to till the soil. Spirit cannot till soil. So God then took of the dust of the earth, formed a body, and breathed into that the breath of lives, the Holy Spirit. Brother John told us that that's what it was. And he became a living soul. Now, who being in the immorph of God, Spirit, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Because he was. In every detail the same. And yet, Sunday we're going to show you there's as Son, not, I shouldn't say as Son, the Son, although the same in life, God life in him, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in the Son, yet the Son, there's 18 or 19 attributes of sonship which set him different from the Father. We'll get into those Sunday. We're talking about the Son was submissive to the Father. God isn't submissive. The Son learned obedience. Number one, to be able to learn means you're adding knowledge. God's omniscient. Jesus said the Father knows the day and the hour. He hasn't even told the Son. He learned obedience. Obedience again shows submission. In 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us that the Father will be above the Son, and the Son will be under the... what's the word here? Let me just turn to it. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So the Son is subject. Well, now what does subject mean? Can you be subject to yourself? The Son is subject to the Father. That means he's in obedience to the Father. He's in a lesser, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So in this form he was no longer equal in the sense that in this form everything God was, that's what he was. He was the same. In this form he was in a lower state, made a little lower than the angels. The form of a servant. But this is the enmorph of God. This is the enmorph of God. This pillar of fire is the enmorph of God. That cloud is the enmorph of God. Who being in the enmorph of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, the enmorph of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, from the unveiling of God, Brother Branham said, notice Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. See? He's the same God, just changing his form. Now, someone said the other day, a Baptist minister out in Tucson, how can you say that Jesus and God would be the same person? And I said, well, it's very easy if you just let your own thinking get away and think the Bible terms of it. They are the self-same being. God is a spirit. Jesus is the body that he veiled in, that he was veiled in. So, God unveiled and morphed in his Son. See, I said, like in my home, my wife and I To my wife, I am her husband, and I have a younger daughter, Rebecca, I am her father. And I have a grandson, and his name is Paul, and I am his grandfather. I am husband, father, and grandfather, and my wife has no claims on me as father or grandfather. She has claims on me alone as husband. And my daughter has no claims on me as husband or grandfather. She is my child, see? But yet all these three persons is the same person, see? That's God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is just the dispensation claim. God is same, the same God. God changed himself, changed his form. Now, that almost sounds like Brother Branham's teaching oneness. It almost sounds like Brother Branham is saying, okay, this one here, that was plain and simple, that was God. No matter which way you slice it, it was God. But in the same series of words, he says, now, but we can dissect. The body was not God. He said, no, that's a body. That's Jesus the man. But this was in this, making the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Let me read that again.
Notice Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. See, he's the same God, just changing his form. Now, someone said the other day, a Baptist minister, Artusen, said, how can you say that Jesus and God will be the same person? And I said, well, it's very easy. If you would just let your own thinking get away and think the Bible terms. They are the self-same being. God is a spirit. Jesus is the body that he's veiled in. Now, notice, Brother Brad said, there is a distinction. Jesus is the body. God is that spirit. So what we say is everything that was in here indwelt this body, making it the God-man.
Then it was God was in Christ reconciling the world. It doesn't say God was Christ. You see? And he says, now, like in my home, to my wife, I am her husband, and I have a young daughter, Rebecca, and I am her father. And I have a grandson, and his name is Paul, and I am his grandfather, and I am husband, father, and grandfather. And my wife has no claims to me as father or grandfather. She has claims to me alone as husband. And my daughter has no claims to me as husband or grandfather. She is my child. See? But yet, all these three persons is the same person. See, that's God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is just the dispensational claim. God is the same God. God changed himself. He changed his form. Now again, it sounds like Brother Branham is preaching oneness until you begin to recognize and look at his definitions. And he says, God was that spirit, but Jesus was the body. Now the oneness would just drop it right there and say, okay, and the body was just a body of flesh. But Brother Branham called him a man. Other places he said he was a triune being. He's born with a body, soul, and spirit. His spirit came from God. It was the same in every nature, in every essence. His soul came from God. His body came from God. His entire being came from God. Yet he was only begotten. He was the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Yet in every essence, every detail, he was God in nature. His nature was God. Or his God nature. But he wasn't God. He was a man. Now, if you notice here in Philippians, he said, now, not thinking it robbery, but took the form of a man. Now, the Greek word there for that form, I've been looking at it all day yesterday, trying to think about what it was. And I find out, with this word and morph, it is spelled E-N-M-O-R-P-H-E, looking in the Greek to find out what and morph was. And I may pronounce that wrong, but and the reason I spell it is when it's on the tape, it's released to people with scholars and will know, and I mean by that. And when he morphed, that means that he changed himself. He come down. Now the Greek word there means that something that could not be seen, yet it's there. And then it's changed, and the eye can catch it. That's beautiful. That's exactly what it says. The word amorph means a form, and this is the form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. External appearance.
Notice, I love that word. It strikes the vision. It makes visible that which is invisible. That's the enmorph. Take away the cloud and it's God is strictly invisible. Place the cloud there and you can see where the presence of God was. He was pillar of cloud by night. Pillar of fire by day. Strike that pillar of fire from that picture and you don't have God on that picture. But that pillar of fire isn't God. It's the enmorph. The Son, Jesus Christ, is the enmorph. He wasn't God. The object or the enmorph, the, what's that word? The external appearance is not the internal. As Brother Val says, the intrinsic and the essentiality. You have to have the intrinsic and the essentiality in order to have the external as an outward expression. If I was an invisible being and I put on this body of skin and I've got five fingers, that's because my invisible being has five fingers. Now if I were to put on a skin over this invisible being, if I were a six-fingered creature, I'd have six fingers showing. You see? So Jesus Christ was the identical representation in every detail of the Father. And yet he wasn't the Father. The life of the Father. Let's go back to Hebrews 1. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners, in different manners, he spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. See, by whom he, God, made the worlds. Through who? His Son. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. Now that word express image, if you've got a Scofield, you'll see the reference over there. It's the expression of his substance. God is substance. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, yet it's there. It's a substance. The substance of things hoped for. It's a substance. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image, the expression of his substance, of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So we see then that Jesus Christ was exactly God in every detail, only he wasn't God. He was the Son of God. Now let's read on with Brother Branham here. He says, I may pronounce that wrong, the reason I spell it when the tapes gets released, the people, scholars, and etc. He says, now it's in morph. That means he changed himself. He come down. Now the Greek word there means that something that could not be seen, yet it's there, and then it's changed, and the eye can see it. That's why John said, we've handled it, the word of life. He said it was invisible, then it became visible. You see? Let's go back to John again. That which was from the beginning. What was from the beginning? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. See? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, that's the Word, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested. In other words, that which was invisible became visible. And we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. Now the same one that said this, if you go to 2 John, Verse 3, he said, Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. And in verse 9, whosoever transgresses, that means goes beyond the limits and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, is not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. So, the same one who said, look, that which came, that which was invisible, that eternal life which came forth from God, manifested himself so that we could hear and see. God in morph. God in morph. God changing his mask. He changed himself to what he was, or his mask, another act. Now, like Elijah was at Dothan, the servant couldn't see all those angels around there, and God just changed, not brought the angels down, but he changed the seeing of the servant. Oh, isn't that beautiful? The angels were already there. But God's servant, or actually not God's servant, but Elijah's servant, Gehazi, he couldn't see the angels. You see, the servant couldn't see all those angels round about there, and God just changed, not brought the angels down, didn't bring them on the sea, but he changed the seeing of the servant. And there was the mountains full of angels, and the fire, and the horses of fire, and the chariots of fire, all around his prophet. See? He changed the seeing. The thing is already there. So that what I'm trying to say, that God that always was is here. God that always was is here. The only thing he done when he become man, he changed his mask. This and more, if he changed himself to what he was, to what he is, or his mask, another act. That's why I believe the scripture says God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. That's why before God was in Christ, when he was 12 years old, when he was a young man, before the wedding at Cana, before God indwelled him in the Jordan, he was just a man. But when God entered him, the miracles began. The wedding at Cana. Turning water into wine. Showing who was immorphed in that vessel, in that mask. He wasn't just Jesus, the son of a carpenter. Any longer. Just as we had in this day, it wasn't just William Branham, son of a drunkard. It was God immorphed in a man. And Brother Branham said, just like Elijah at Dothan, the servant couldn't see all those angels there, and God just changed, didn't bring down the angels, but he changed the scene of the servant. That's why the definition of immorph is the form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. The external appearance. The external appearance. That which is visible. I like that. Strikes the vision. You picture when that light comes out of that projector. And when that light strikes the surface. You could shine that up in the air, you don't see anything. But as soon as you bring that over and it strikes the surface, what happens? There's the outward appearance. There's the image right there in front of you. You see? The light has to strike something. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. The presence has always been here, he said. But it had to strike the surface. It had to strike the immorph. And then God made visible. In our midst. Like in a great drama, as I was speaking this morning, kind of catching up on the Shakespeare, it's been a long time, but when Shakespeare wrote the drama for King James of England, when he, the character of Macbeth, see, Shakespeare did not believe in witches, but in the play where the king did believe in witches, so he had to include witches, see? And now in order to do this, they changed the cast. And Becky here in Carmen, they acted that in the school where she just graduated a few weeks ago. Now maybe one person played three or four parts. In order to do that, he changed his mask. Sometimes he'd come out And he's a character, and the next time he come out, he's another character. But it is the same person all the time, and that's God. He changed himself from the pillar of fire to become a man. Then changed himself from that man back in spirit again, that he might dwell in man. God acting in man when he really was. Jesus Christ was God acting in man, in a man, in a man. That's what he was. He changed from the pillar of fire and then had come in, which was the veil in the wilderness that God, that hid God from Israel. Moses seen the shape of his body, but really, he was hid all the time behind this pillar of fire, which was the Logos that went from God. Now we find here now, since Pentecost, God is not acting in man or acting, now he's acting through man, see? He was acting in a man then, Jesus. Now he's acting through man that he has chosen for his purpose, or for this purpose. God in the form of man, he changed himself from the form of God to a form of man. Now, let's look at identify Christ of all ages. There's only 19 times that Brother Branham uses the word enmorph. 19. There's only, I think, 4 or 5 times Brother Branham used the word kenos. Not too many. And I want to show you the difference, because what's being taught out there is they will draw, actually they'll take a glass of water, and this is where the error comes. They will take 3 glasses of water, and the first one is the Father. Second one is the Son. The third one is the Church. And they will say all that was in the Father was poured into the Son, and now the Son's full, and this glass is empty. And all that was in the Son, he poured into the Church, and this glass is full, and now this one is empty.
Well, that means you no longer have the God life that was in the Father anymore. He's emptied out. Kenos. Brother Brown said it's not kenos. It's not kenos.
Let's read on. From identifying Christ of all ages, he said, remember, God changes his form and morph. The Greek word here means he puts on a different mask. Like in Carmen or something, or a Shakespeare play, he's like an actor. He changes his form. All what those prophets were, that was God in those prophets. Jesus said so. You call them gods, who the word of God came to, and here I am, the Son of God. How do you condemn me? Oh my, the same thing is today. It's God manifested in flesh, the message of the hour, the light of the day. We can't have them other messages back there. They've done been lived up. We live in the glare of a light. So Brother Bram said the same thing today. God in flesh. Now, from the mighty God unveiled, he said, we find down in Africa, South Africa, they use the word Amoya, which means an unseen force. And this unseen force is in the whirlwind, had an audible voice. It spoke out to Job, yet he never seen his form. But he was veiled to him by the whirlwind. And we find one of the great prophets of the Bible, Moses of the Old Testament, one of God's chosen, selected, predestinated servants, he also desired to see him. He'd been so close to him and had seen so many things of his great mystical hand going before him and doing things that only God could do. He desired to see him one day, and God told him, go stand on the rock. And while standing on the rock, Moses seen him pass, and he saw the back of him. And it said it looked like a man's back. Yet he did not see God. He only seen the veil of God. He only seen the enmorph of God. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. So Moses saw him veiled as a man. And we find that Jehovah of the Old Testament was Jesus of the New Testament. And as Dr. Schofield, we find that his word changing from form, we find the word enmorph in the Greek, which means the unseen was made visible. That's beautiful. The unseen was made visible. Something that when he changed his form of the enmorph, which means that he changed from supernatural to natural. And he just changed his mask, and otherwise it's like a drama. He was acting. In the Greek, when they would change their mask, maybe one play or one player might act in several different parts. And my daughter's present here, and they just had a high school a drama, and they and one boy that I knowed played about four parts. But he would go behind the stage and change his mask in order to come out to impersonate another character. And notice the word impersonate another character. Now, when Jesus stood here, what did the Son say? I can of what? I can of myself do nothing. Whatsoever though what? The Son seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. So Jesus was dependent, Brother Bassett, upon vision to show him what to do. Then the Father was dwelling in the Son, showing the Son how to be a son. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. When he got it wrong, he suffered. Or he suffered so he wouldn't get it wrong, put it that way. God gave him the good tweak. Like Brother Branham. God tweaked him and tweaked him and tweaked him. Took his wife, took his child. Made him a bondservant, a prisoner. Paul said, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Not a prisoner of the Son, but a prisoner of God. Jehovah, Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Now, from the mighty God unveiled, Brother Brown said, in Joel 2:28, he promised that in these last days there would be a latter rain poured out upon the people in the last days. I think the Greek word there is kinos, which means that he emptied himself out, not in the way that we would say, like something was inside of somebody that had emptied out, but he poured himself out. He changed his and more. In other words, not pouring himself out, but he changed his and more. It wasn't God as Father emptying out, but now this glass came into here, and so you have the Father in a, not in a role as Father, but in a lesser role coming into the church. The Father into the Son. Not doing away with the Father, but this glass in this vessel. This glass in this. That's what Jesus said. In that day, you'll see that the Father is in me and I in you. Not doing away with this, but in an amorph. And more. Changing the mask. Coming into the Father, coming into the Son to act out the role of Son. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. The very God life that was in the Son. See? Now notice what he says. He changed his and more. He says, I think the Greek word there is kinos, which means that he emptied himself out, but not in the way that we would say. Like something was inside of somebody that had emptied out, that he poured himself out. No, he changed his and more. He changed form, what he was to what he is. He never changes his nature. So when God went into the Son, God didn't change being, he didn't change being God. That just made the Son God. So you could worship. You could look to the man and see it was God. You could worship him. He performed miracles which no man could do. He did the supernatural while in the man. And when God in this hour came into man in the flesh in this hour, he did the same thing. He never changed his nature. Oh, that's beautiful. Hallelujah. Not pouring out, emptying out. God can't empty out. Not kinos and morph. Changing the mask. Coming into the very personal presence of God in the church in this hour. Not in every individual. He's in the individual only that his God life is in you by new birth. But God himself came in the midst of the church. Into the church. Brother Branham said, when it's in one finger, it's in the hand. He said, everybody can't be. John 14:12, he quoted it. Said, not everybody can be that. He said there was only one Moses, one Jesus, one Paul, but he says, you can be part of that from the paradox. So you can be part of that. He said, no, they wouldn't even have a ministry if there hadn't been a people to hear that ministry. That's our part. But we've seen God in morph. Now notice Brother Branham is telling us here. He said it is not as if he poured himself out, as if something is drained empty, but he changes his form. Now if you look up the word kenos, kenos says emptied. It's emptied out. But God didn't empty himself out. He changed form. He slipped from one form to another form, playing out a different role each time. What's this role here? Can anybody tell me? What's this role that God showed himself as? Supreme judge. Pillar of fire. The Shekinah presence. Now from the unveiling of God, he said, now, Brother Matt said, when it said here that he emptied himself out or poured out, we think like this, that he vomited up. The English word of emptied and poured out from him. See, something went out of him that was different from him. But the word kenos in the Greek does not mean that he's vomited up or that his arm went off or his eye went out in another person. That is, he changed himself. He poured himself into another mask, into another form. Not another person went out of him called the Holy Spirit, but it was he himself, you get it? He himself poured himself into the people. Christ in you, how beautiful, how wonderful to think. God pouring himself into the human being, into the believer, poured out. It was a part of this drama to do so. God, all the fullness, all the Godhead bodily was in this person, Jesus Christ. He was God and God alone. Not a third person, or a second person, or a first person, but the person. God veiled in human flesh. See, that just tells you right there. Then it wasn't. It wasn't no longer the Father, no longer the Son. God is still the Father. His Son was a different vessel. The church is a different vessel. God poured himself in. It's like this glass entered into this. This glass entered into this. Not doing away with this glass, because he was still there in the presence. God was in Christ, you see. And God is in his word, which is in the church now. But the masterpiece, the perfect image of the God-man, God and morph, had changed from supernatural to the vision. And the vision was projected into the image. Listen to the words. This is a Kentucky, not a hillbilly, but just a little Kentucky guy that had an eighth grade education. But look at his words. And the vision was projected into the image. And the image was smitten, so that the supernatural could taste the feeling of death. God brought forth a son, as we showed the first in the image, and then allowed that image, that let him take up that mask and use it for his glory. He could not do it in Moses. He could not do it in the prophets. Isaiah was sawed till he was sawed to pieces. He could not do it in the prophets that were stoned. He could not do it because he couldn't feel it. It was just a portion of him. But in this perfect masterpiece, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He could not only project Moses, he could project his entire being into this person and taste death for the whole human race. God's perfect masterpiece. God so inspired by seeing it. He became the Redeemer of all ages to speak for those in the backgrounds who had been before and now. All promises was met in him. He was the perfection of the perfection. All types was fulfilled in him. Our kinsman redeemer in Ruth and Boaz. Our lawgiver from Mount Sinai. Our prophet from the wilderness. As he come from the mountain. As he come from the wilderness. As he come from eternity. And become man, the perfect image. And from who is this Melchizedek again? Now this, remember we began at paragraph 38. Where Brother Branham said, and now the Greek word amorph, meaning that he changed his mask, and that's what God did. It's the same God all the time. Now, don't ever forget it. It's the same God all the time. Not the same mask all the time. Sometimes the mask was his son. Sometimes the mask was a pillar of fire or cloud. Sometimes the mask was Moses. or Paul or Isaiah. But it was the same God all the time. Projecting what? Projecting what? To a image. Projecting to an image. And that image was the inmorph. That's where God poured himself to. That's where God filled up, took over. Now, paragraph 42. Notice, like the sculptor, he hides with a mask over it. That's what God done to this age. It's been hid. All these things has been hid and is supposed to be revealed in this age. Now, the Bible says that they could be revealed in the latter times. It's like a sculptor keeping his piece of work all covered over until the time that he takes the mask off of it, and there it is. And that's what the Bible has been. It has been a work of God that's been covered up. And it's been hid since the foundations of the world, and it's sevenfold mystery, and God promised in this day, at the age of Laodicean church, that he would take the mask off the whole thing, and we could see it. What a glorious thing. God and morph masked in a pillar of fire, but God. God and morph in a man called Jesus. God and morph in his church. God above us, God with us, God in us. The condescending of God. Up there holy, no one could touch him. He settled upon the mountain, and even if an animal touched the mountain, had to die. And then God came down and changed his tent, and he come down and lived with us, become one of us, and we beheld him. The Bible said, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, handled with hands. God ate meat. God drank water. God slept. God cried. He was one of us. Beautiful. Typed in the Bible. That was God above us, God with us. Now it's God in us, the Holy Spirit, not the third person, the same person. God came down and became flesh and died the death in Christ so that he could clean the church in order to get into it for fellowship. God loves fellowship. That's what he made the man at the first time for, was for fellowship. God dwells alone with cherubs, and notice now, he made man and man fell. So he came down and redeemed man because God loves to be worshipped. The very word God means object of worship. And this that comes among us as a pillar of fire, as something that changes our hearts, that is the same God that said, let there be light. And there was light. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we could just recognize, brother, sister, this pillar of fire. This pillar of fire is the same God that said, let there be light. Hallelujah. That is the same God that came down and hovered over the earth in the beginning and said, let there be the waters from above be separated from the waters from below. That's the same God that said, let there be light. He's the same God that said, let us make man in our image. It's the same God that dwelt in the sun. It's the same God that spoke through Moses. It's the same God that spoke through William Branham. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not God kinos, but God and morph. God changing his mask. The same God that was in Jesus. The same God that's in the Holy Spirit today. The same God all the way through. One God. And he had a son. He dwelt in that son. One God who had sons. And he, his life, lives and reigns and is projected through his sons today. How can I better explain it? If we go back to our definition and the definitions that Brother Branham gave us. The form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. How many times we've had that projector up here, we've taken the picture off, and when that light that's coming out, when I'm looking at that light in this view, as it's coming out, I can see just a little bit of the, you know, the specks in the air, the dust, whatever. I can see the lights kind of forming, but until it has something to strike, it's without form, it's without understanding. But when it strikes the surface, then you see what is in the source right here in the projector coming out. When it has something to strike, and in this hour, God has a people. And it began with the first wave of the sheaf.
God spoke lip to lip with that prophet. And that light comes out, reflects off of that prophet. Notice his face, how lit up it is. And as that light strikes the prophet, it comes out and it strikes you and I. And when you stand in front of a mirror at night, turning all the lights off, you won't see an image, but the image is there. And then when you put a little bit of light, maybe go out in the hallway, turn on that light, just open the door, just a little crack. A little bit of light starts to come through. You begin to see highlights. You might see the tip of your nose. You might see your forehead. And the more light that is shown upon, that reflects off the mirror, or actually reflects off of you, back to the mirror, back to your eyes, the more of the image of the one who's standing there you see. Therefore, what are you seeing? You're seeing light. When that projector projects out and you see Brother Vale's picture on the reflected out there in the video, what do you see? You're seeing light. And when God manifests himself, what are we seeing? We're seeing God reflecting off of a vessel. We are then seeing God in morph. That's how God is in the church. She's a reflector. Let's just bow our head in prayer. Your gracious Father, we recognize your presence among us. It's awesome, Father, to realize that your presence is still here, that you're here reflecting yourself through ministries, through your children. And Father, we just pray that we would submit ourselves to that, knowing that the greatest servant of all, your prophet William Branham, was the humblest of all. And Moses, in his day, was the humblest man in all the earth. And your prophet told us that being humble is knowing your place in the Scripture and knowing your place in the will of God. Help us, Father, to know our place and never to step outside of our calling. And Father, we just pray that you would reflect through us your glory. For we ask it in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Father, bless me, Father. And we, each and every one of us, bless each and every one of us, Father. Not just with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, not just spiritual blessings, but with your physical blessings. We pray that you would bless your ministry to your people in this hour. And may we have a part in it, Lord. Whatever part you would see fit for us, Lord, we pray that you would bless us in our role. And the role that you've come to play out, may we get out of the way and let you play that role in us and through us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There it is. There it is. The role that he wants to play. May I be that mask that he's holding up. How many masks did the guy have in the Shakespeare play, Becky's high school? He had four masks. How many masks does God have today? Well, there's a fivefold masks. Plus there was a great mask there of a vindicated prophet of God, who is not only a prophet, he was a pastor, he was a teacher. He did the work of an evangelist. He was a missionary. God reflecting in a person a fivefold ministry. And now he's gone off the scene, but as we read Sunday, the word has been left with a faithful people to be reflectors. That's all he's asking you to be, is a reflector. Get out of the way.